Seeking the Lord's help, I direct your attention this evening to the second epistle general of Peter, the first chapter, reading the fourth verse. The second epistle general of Peter, the first chapter, reading the fourth verse. Whereby are given unto us the exceeding great and precious promises. By these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. By these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through love. And the question is this: are they given unto us? Have they been given unto us? Have they been spoken into our heart? Are we the possessors of these exceeding great and precious promises? When were they spoken? Where were they spoken? In what circumstances were they spoken? What was the purpose of them in the Lord speaking to us? Where were we? In what was our need? What was our circumstances? What was our cry? There's something very blessed about these promises. Here is a child of God in great need. Here is a child of God in great temptation. Here is a child of God with a great cross, a great sorrow. And the Lord knows. And in that he stoops and speaks into their hearts. They have a burden. What has happened? He has laid them in it. He has brought that burden. He has planted that in their path. That's not by chance. Here is a thorn in the flesh. That is not by chance. Scripture reveals it quite clearly. These great and precious promises are peculiarly associated with great and precious sorrows and sufferings of his dear people, and therefore they're good. The Lord has done it, is his word to his dear church. Mark this, they're given. They're given. Do not think that I think there's an age limit on that. I don't. To the very youngest, the Lord can speak. Joseph, in his youth, was shown by promise that his brethren would bow down to him. Thereafter, the dear man of God, boy that he was, 17, walked it out for 20 years until they did. And when they did, he went aside and wept. Why? The sight of the glory of his God in fulfilling that precious promise that he'd given him. Because you see, everything depended on that, did it not? Was it real? Oh, how it was tried. You know, beautifully in the psalm, and some of the scriptures have a beautiful commentary on other scriptures. And in the psalm we read of Joseph, until the time that his word came. had its fulfillment. Until the time that promise was fulfilled, where the Lord tried him. The Lord give you a promise and he'll try it. But I say this to you equally tonight. They're given for a lifetime. God's word is not like ours. What poor creatures we are. How many times you make a promise and forget to fulfill it? How many times you make a promise with the best intention in the world and are not able to do it? I tell you this. God, in giving a promise, intends to fulfill it and will fulfill it. And it's given for a purpose. It is to God's dear church, a promise is an arm of strength. It is a sacred bond between God and his dear people. It's peculiarly personal. And Mark, it's given by him. It's a monstrous error, you know, to say that all the promises of God are ours. They're not. They're in God's holy word, and some would tell you, all you've got to do is believe them. If you're taught of God's Spirit, you'll know that's not so. You'll know you can't believe them. And even when they're given to you, you forget them often. But you know, we spoke of Jacob at Peniel, at Jabbok, how he went to his knees. But you see, there's more than meets the eye there. He had one promise at Bethel. I'll not leave thee. I'll be with thee. And oh, there is something that is very powerful here. It's there. But you can go to your God with your promise and say to him, Lord, thou saidst, I'll surely do thee good is one of the promises. Lord, thou said. And you know, I preached a lot from it over the last few years. Paul's thorn in the flesh and the circumstances. And one of those is this. And he said unto me. I wonder in this congregation here this evening, who's got a promise? One will be enough, dear friend. One will be enough. But oh, God's dear people often have several promises that he's spoken to them in life's pathway. But you know, I ask you here tonight, if you've got a promise, how'd you get in? What were the circumstances? What was the cry that came up from your heart to him? Where were you? In what solemn cloud of darkness were you? Why were you brought into it? Why did the Lord put it into the mind of Satan? As they considered my servant Job, and then to throw him into all that trouble. Why? I tell you this, in the deep wisdom of God, which is good, that he might bring him crushed, not broken, crushed and humbled at his dear Redeemer's feet, vile and worthless, broken, all marking, yet he brought him to his feet, that he might bless him, Scripture speaks so beautifully, and he blessed him there. But where was there? It was at Peniel, for poor Jacob. And he blessed him there. And it was in a crisis. Eternity lay before him. And the Lord had commanded him to go back. But he didn't foresee what was going to happen. When the Lord led his dear children by the cloudy pillar to the Red Sea, what a mystery. Led them to an impasse. Ah, it was so that they should see the glory of God in salvation. That they would witness the waters part and their God appear on their behalf. I tell you this tonight, promises are given for a purpose. They're exceeding great. Why is that? I tell you this, because they come from a great God. And the Apostle Peter knew that. These dear men of God, I've said it many times, Paul, Peter, John, James, writers of these scriptures, Matthew, Mark, Luke, they spoke out of knowledge, revelation in their own hearts. They spoke of nothing they didn't know that they hadn't walked in. They spoke from knowledge, can you? They could speak of those things that the Lord had done for them, as the Apostle Peter speaks here. We know he had exceeding great and precious promises himself. Promise of his God to him was this, I have prayed for thee. I prayed for thee. And we know here as he speaks of them as precious. I thought with that word upon my mind, it's been upon my mind all day, precious. There are those things which are precious to us in this world. I thought, in thinking of this, our dear parents are gone before. There's many of you here whom that is true. Their memory's precious. Something we value. You know, when we come to look at the things that are precious, they may be, as we said this morning, in and of themselves, valuable, like gold and silver. Other things that to many are worthless, to us are precious. I tell you this, these exceeding great and precious promises combine both those views of what is precious. They're in and of themselves divine and exceedingly valuable. And to the poor sinner in his circumstances, his own peculiar path, his own peculiar cross, his own peculiar need, when the Lord speaks a promise into their hearts that is peculiarly valuable to them, is theirs. And the scripture in its prophecy here is fulfilled, given to us, not taken, but they are peculiar promises given to God's dear church in peculiar circumstances. And you know, They're very precious to the dear people of God that receive them. They're never to be forgotten. The sweetness of the time when they were given, the strength that they gave, the unbearable cross that had to be carried, that was the everlasting arms underneath, a promise. That was the Word of God personally to that soul. And the poor sinner knows when receiving a precious promise how precious it is. And the Lord said to the man of Bethesda, Paul, rise, gave him strength to do it. And the Lord says to his dear church, fear not. He takes all fear away. When he gives a precious promise in the hearts of his dear people, they walk in the sweetness of it. Strangely, the trouble remains. Strangely, as with the dear Apostle Paul, the thorn remained. But the promise remained as well, forever. Always could the dear man look to that sacred word of God, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then there was a walking of that air. The sorrow didn't go away. The suffering didn't go away. But he was able to walk with it, with the word of his God. And you know the dear man of God, under the blessed nature of that promise, said this. Resignation to the will of his God, he said, most gladly therefore, will I glory in my infirmity, my trouble. Why? Because it's the avenue to God. The power of Christ may rest upon me. Oh, I believe this, you know. So solemn are the dealings of God with his dear children in this life. So deep are the waters they must walk in that they may be taught of him. So terrible are the afflictions they must come into that he may bring them to listen to his voice. Hear the rod, and he was appointed it. He does make them hear. So and solemn are these paths. Why? Ah, think of it. They're the very ground of the giving of these great, exceeding great and precious promises. They're not lightly given. When most we need his helping hand, this friend is always near. With heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. And you know, the Lord will bring us to value these promises because we're going to have to plead them all the days of our journey. Many years ago, back about 40 years ago now, in a time of great darkness and temptation and trial that I was walking in, I hardly knew how to get up off my knees to the day that was ahead of me under such temptation. And suddenly the Lord spoke, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Dear friends, I rose that morning, and oh, the strength that I felt, the peace. And I tell you this, that promise was given for the preaching of the gospel. I proved it. I needed it. As I bow my head in prayer, I can tell you this, every time I've stood up to preach, over 30 years now, I've had to play that promise. And I see and feel the need of it the longer I go on in the ministry of His Word. That through the preaching of the gospel, His dear servants need upholding. And they need. And you know, there's another aspect of this. We can go to the Lord with our promise and say, Lord, thou said, but He'll come to you again and again with your promise and repeat it in your heart. Has He done it? Has to me. What a channel between a poor sinner and his God. You see, our text says in the most mysterious manner, by giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that thereby we might be partakers of the divine nature. I would tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean we're partakers of God's holy nature. When God works in the hearts of His dear people, He says to them this, ye shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. You read in His prayer, which He concluded the Last Supper with, the 17th of John, I've given them my glory. Reread this, I in them, and thou in me, and they be one in us. The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. You know, it's not to partake of the inherent nature of God, for that is divine. But you know, it's a partaker of His mercy, of His love, of His pardoning blood, of His teaching, of His care. To be brought into this sacred union with Him. Here is a promise spoken by the Spirit into the soul of a sinner. I in them. It is so. His word spoken into your heart. How precious that is. And I believe that it grows in preciousness as we journey on. And never will it be more precious than in a dying hour. To have one of these exceeding great and precious promises, and to be able to lean on it, and to say to Him, Lord, thou sayest. I do ask you here, I've spoken of one promise. How many more promises have you had? What has the Lord said to you? In what stages of the pathway? I'm encouraged to see a following generation among you. The way is no different for you than it was for me. I can look back over many years now since the Lord began with me, and I can trace the giving of these promises. I know in my own sight and my own heart how exceeding great and precious they are. And the longer you journey onward, the more you're valued. They're given in your youth. They're spoken into your soul. They're yours forever. But there are others given. The Lord speaks again and again. I thought as we were in prayer of dear Abraham on Mount Moriah, he had a promise regarding Isaac, in thee and in thy seed. And the apostle in the Galatians says this, and that seed was Christ. In thee and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And yet, in the face of that promise, in the trial of his faith, the trial of your faith, says the Apostle Peter, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. I tell you this, that faith may be but a grain of mustard seed, yet it's going to be tried with fire. May be found, not destroyed. Unto honour and unto praise may be found. And you know, the Lord gives a promise, but it's tried. And it was with Abraham, but what happened? The dear man of God, as he went to Mount Moriah, first he rose early in the morning. Faith. He didn't linger, hoping the Lord would remove that word. He went. Knowing the promise he carried. And when Isaac asked, where is the sacrifice? In faith, he looked to his God. And he said, the Lord will provide. That mount has ever been named Jehovah Jireh. He took the promise, and the apostle, in expounding that, said, accounting that God was able to raise him, that is Isaac, from the dead. Whereof he feared. What a sight we have of the trial of a precious promise. And so he raised the knife. And there was the promise. And you know, it's this, you see, here, the dear man of God, in the trial of his faith, watch this precious promise under trial. And he went the whole way with it to raise the knife. The knife was raised over the promise. I tell you this, it was raised over all his religion. Everything depended on that. If that was wrong, everything was wrong. What a trial. And yet in the very final seconds, the Lord spoke. Stay thy hand. And he saw what he'd said. The ram provided and caught in the thicket, and it was Christ. What teaching lay in that solemn path? Oh, when we think of the Lord in Gethsemane, if it be possible. You may be saying that tonight. Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. And you see, Abraham might well have said, let this cup pass from me. But there was a blessing in it, hidden. And when he left Mount Moriah, it was the hour for a promise. And a beautiful promise it is, in blessing. Blessing, Mount Moriah. Blessing, raising the knife over Isaac. Blessing. Blessing. Couldn't see it, could he? In blessing. He could see it afterwards. I will bless thee. Oh, the promise. The Lord had given him other blessed promises, one of which was this. I am thy shield. And thy exceeding great reward. What a promise. That was Christ. His shield. Beautiful figure of Christ. Standing between his dear people. Described in Scripture. He is the propitiation for our sins. The one who has removed the wrath of God from his dear people. The shield. I am thy shield. One who stands between his Father and his church in garments dyed in blood, as the hymn writer says, is he. Instead of me is seen when I approach to God. And there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Sin shall not have dominion over you. One stands between in garments dyed in blood. That great intercessor, all you know it, in blessing, I will bless thee. And I am thy shield, and thy exceeding great reward. That was heaven. What a promise. I think tonight, exceeding great and precious promises, the dying thief was in the last moments of his life, when he was given. And you see, the circumstances, and the hour, and the solemnity of it, and his sins. And in the midst of it all, he who had mocked the Lord as he was nailed to the cross, and said, thou that savest others, save thyself. Then, to be brought to ask. And how beautifully it is true of him. Ask. He did ask. And the promise, ye shall receive. And what did he get? He got this. And so this, he needed no more, but it was a promise. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Oh, what a blessed promise it is. And you see, you can see, can you not, how exceeding great and precious that was to him. And he was brought into that lovely hymn, united to Jesus the vine, I've life, health, and righteousness too. I in them, and thou in me, they may be one in us. There is here a holy union, a bond, a sacred contact, never to be broken. I use the figure like a lifeline between a mother and her child, never to be broken. It is a union between Christ and his dear church, exceeding great and precious promises given unto us, whereby we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What a solemn word that is. The whole world lies in wickedness, utter corruption. It binds the hearts of men and women. Never have I seen such an age as I've seen now. I know that sin is terrible in every generation. I know that Satan's work is no different in any generation. He is a monstrous foe. I spent 6 weeks of my life living beside the concentration camp at Belsen and saw the hideous nature of man's hatred of man, and all these solemn and awful consequences of let his blood be upon us and upon our children. It is no different. But you know, there are some parts of the centuries, and it is in our own century now, when Satan is let loose. And now sin, awful sin, is accepted as normality in our nation. Monstrous wickedness, like the murder of millions of infants in the world, like the awful sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, which are about our nation. And you know, there's a book called The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. And it's very striking. Part of that fall was utter moral degradation. It happened in Greece as well. Empires were destroyed by it. And this country will be destroyed by it. It is a most solemn and awful manifestation of Satan. And the Lord has promised that nations that behave like this and turn from him in our statute book. It's full of acts that are contrary to his word. Old Mr. Short used to say to me quite often, there will be no blessing in this land until our statute book is put in order according to God's holy word. Sin, which is condemned by his word, is licensed in our land. It is most the world's corruption through lust. The solemn sins of evil. We live in the most lustful and monstrous age. And we know in our own hearts. We know in our own hearts the evil of it. It is there. And we have to say, there but for the grace of God go I. But we live in an age now where it is becoming a crime to condemn it. I spoke yesterday at the National Prayer Meeting for the Nation at Southampton of the man at Bournemouth who condemned sodomy in the street, caused a riot, was arrested and charged and fined and then died. And still there's no admission. Here was a man defending the Lord's holy law and our nation is willing to turn on him. All the solemn monstrous evils that lie here. But you know, there's one blessed truth that lies here, and this is this, having escaped. Having escaped. Oh, I ask you, have you escaped? Have you been brought out? Have you been separated? Can you see how that's been done? Can you see what you've been delivered from? Can you see what precipices you've been saved from? There are great precipices in our life. They're not only physical. There are solemn moral precipices. How many go over them? And yet the Lord saved the woman at the well with her five husbands from an awful moral precipice she'd gone over. He stooped, as it were, to the very bottom to raise her up. Humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Evermore give me this water to drink, she said to him. We know that Messiah is coming. Ah, he said, I that speak unto thee am he. I tell you this, the Lord Jesus Christ did not reveal himself to everybody. He did to that woman with five husbands. We know that Messiah is coming. I that speak revelation. Oh, what a blessed truth then lies here. I hope you can come in with it, given unto us, and join the little us that lies in our text tonight, whereby are given unto us. Hope you can come in with dear John in his epistle when he said, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Can you join there? For as much whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that thereby we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped through the having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Amen.